Working with a client's confidence to make a change. Here's where we get to the part of your session when the WIC parent makes a plan for change, if, of course, this person is ready. We will look at where confidence fits in readiness to change, and then we'll look at how to do it most effectively and how it fits so well into the goal formation process. Readiness to change is made up of importance and confidence to make a specific change. In the last podcast, we looked at exploring and engaging with WIC parents about what is important to them. The client's confidence to make a proposed change is the other half of readiness. So here we look at assessing and building confidence. How do we make the transition to talking about confidence? In a given client contact, when you have agreement from the parent that a particular change would be a good idea, for instance, I do want to breastfeed, or I really need to wean her from the bottle, or we all should be getting more fruits and vegetables, then it's the moment to transition. You can do this by summarizing what you've heard of importance, and then use scaling to transition to discussing the confidence to actually do it. For example, I hear you really want to breastfeed. You know it is healthy for the baby, and you like the idea of the convenience when you're away from home. Tell me, on a scale of 0 to 10, how confident are you right now that you're going to be breastfeeding when we see you here for the first time with your new baby? Where 0 means you know you won't be, and 10 means you know for sure that you can do it. Notice the care taken with the wording. You define the numbers a bit in wording that you think will fit for this mom. It may take a moment for the client to come up with a number. This shows that they're really thinking about it. You're not simply asking the question to get a number and jot it down. The number itself is not very meaningful. You use it to further explore. The useful question in our head is, where did that number come from? What went into it? And so you follow up, even if the number is fairly low. When we don't stop just at the number and instead explore more about confidence, it helps both us and the client clarify the exact goal. The obstacles will emerge and can be addressed, and the client's confidence will be boosted. Here are some ideas for questions to follow up the number. After you get some sort of number, don't just leave it at that. Follow up by going down first. For example, if the person says, I'm about a 4, ask, what makes it a 4 and not a 2? This will bring out the person's strengths, and you can reflect them back. So what you're doing with the number is to reflect whatever you get and ask for more. You might even simply reflect the confidence that you hear in the number before exploring more. For example, if the person says 5, you might say, so you have a certain amount of confidence already that you can wean him off the bottle. Then you would scale down to find out more of what goes into that confidence that she has. Make sure to reflect back all the strengths and efforts you evoke with your scaling down questions. For instance, you already know that you can do X, Y, or Z, or you've done this before, or you have the support of your friends. Notice that doing this will have the effect of boosting the client's confidence even before you address obstacles. I've been talking about great open-ended questions that will move the planning and confidence process along. Let's not forget reflecting. It is probably even more effective than the best open-ended questions. Selective reflection of strengths and the client's own ideas increase confidence to change and encourage more problem solving. After you've evoked some strengths, scale up with something like, tell me what would have to be different for your confidence to be just a bit higher, or what would cause that number to be a few points higher. This brings out obstacles or need for support. It may be tempting to jump in with your suggestions for dealing with the obstacles. If you wish the client to do most of the brainstorming, you could instead ask, How might you handle that if it comes up? Or how have you coped with this kind of thing in the past? Or what are your thoughts? Now you, and more importantly the client, are involved in the planning process. Let's look at this familiar way of assessing whether a goal is a useful one. Ask yourself whether the emerging goal is a SMART goal: specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. When it is specific, measurable, and time-bound, this helps the person and you be clear about what they have said they will do and to remember it. For example, it's not very SMART, measurable, or time-bound to say, "I'll give him more water." Here's a smarter goal: "I will put only water or milk in his glass at dinner each night this week." When you hear a vague goal, you can do a few things to gently guide the goal to a more effective one. Key questions such as, "How might that look this week?" or "Tell me how that will play out in your daily routine," may bring more specificity and time. Also, when you reflect an emerging goal you hear, you could tweak it a bit in your reflection to be more specific or to add a time. For example, when a client says, "I'll switch to milk or water," you could reflect back, "So you've decided that this week you're going to put just milk or water in that glass at meals." If you've gone a little too far, the client will correct you. Now let's look at attainable and relevant. These fit with importance and confidence to make a change that we've been recently talking about. Relevant speaks to both the relevance to your perceived health outcomes and relevance to the client's concerns, how important it is to them in their life. So, if you have evoked from the WIC mom what matters to her, and she agrees that this goal you two have focused on fits with her overall goals and values, and it heads that family in a healthy direction, then it's relevant. If you would like to tie it more closely in what is important to the client, you could ask her, "It does sound like this idea of switching to milk or water at meals fits with your desire to be a good mom. Tell me how you see it." You may elicit from her a bit more that clarifies for her how it fits her values. Attainable speaks to how doable it is, and this is what you're working with by exploring confidence. You're helping the client tweak the goal to be attainable, in other words, one where confidence is at least a 7. So let's look at what to do if confidence is below a 6 or 7, even after exploring obstacles and problem solving as best you can. You could suggest considering a smaller step and then scale confidence to do that one. For example, "I hear you're not sure you can do that. Might there be a smaller step you're ready for?" Some clients will not come up with a smaller step or won't seem to understand what you're getting at. That question you've asked may be a bit too open for them. You could offer to be more specific. You probably have great ideas for smaller steps gleaned from other WIC families, from your life, from coworkers. Ask permission to share them. As you give your suggestions, stop to ask for a response. Look and listen closely to any response and follow up by scaling the smaller step that you may hear emerging. We will look more at how to best give advice in the next podcast. When you summarize the plan at the end of the contact, include what you heard about confidence. This might sound like, "So your plan this week is to go to that meeting the peer breastfeeding counselors are having in your neighborhood. You know you'll go because it's right around the corner from your aunt's house, and you planned to visit her anyway to ask her about her breastfeeding experience. Your confidence to breastfeed is pretty high because you know you're someone who does well when you have support from others, and you now have the phone number of our peer counselors." Here's the practice slide. Most counselors find that to practice this, they need to focus on just this area for a week or two. You probably are already trained to look for anything a parent says that sounds like a goal or change idea. To strengthen this part of your work, You could practice stopping when you hear something that sounds like a goal. Reflect it back and then ask to scale. Follow it up and then summarize. You might find it useful to break this down further, just as with our clients, breaking change down into steps makes it easier. For example, you could pick just one element of this process and just do it a lot for a while and see what happens. You could just focus on picking up any change plans you hear, even if they're very subtle, and reflect them back. If you're not comfortable yet with asking the scaling question about confidence, you could begin doing that and just see what happens. You may notice how much it serves as a conversation starter. Or you might be already asking the scaling question and be ready to practice following it up with reflections and more open questions. Another option is to focus just on the summary part, making sure to include what you heard of the client's confidence to make the proposed change in your contact summary. Practice, practice, practice.